Turn your Bibles this evening to Psalms chapter 103. Psalm 103. We'll be reading two verses. Verse number 1, and then if you'll join with me down in verse number 22. Psalm chapter 103. And if you found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this evening. Psalm 103, I'll begin reading verse number 1 and then join together in verse number 22. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And let's pray this evening. Again, Heavenly Father, we appreciate the opportunity to be in Your house this evening. Lord, how worthy, as the choir sang, of Your glory and Your honor and Your praise. And so that's why we're here tonight, to hear from the man of God, and through Your Word of God, and I pray You bless what's said. Be with the special before, and prepare our hearts in Your name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. O Lamb, I come. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse, relief, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, Thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down, now to
invitation type songs are really good, aren't they? And we never sing them here because we don't. And I was thinking the other day about starting to have us sing during the invitation time because those words, many of those songs are powerful. They really are. And so if we start that, don't be surprised. We might give it a whirl on Sunday night or something, but those are tremendous, tremendous songs. I don't know how you do it, sing a song that's so familiar like that to a different melody. That's not easy to do, but that was really, really good, and I enjoyed that tonight. Now, I apologize. I don't have a lot of voice tonight. This is my 9th message since we were here last Sunday night, and so I've spoken a lot this week. I spoke at the camp 3 times, of course, Wednesday night here. I spoke for our Spanish twice last night and twice this morning. They had a family conference and some good men in, and Joyce and I both spoke last night, and then I spoke a second time. And so it's a little bit raspy, and to be honest with you, the energy level is winding down, okay? So you're probably glad to know that, aren't you? So I want to speak tonight out of these verses that we read. Of course, we were in this chapter this morning on the example and model of God as a father for us men. And then these verses captured my attention as I was preparing for this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Then He ends it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I want to speak to you tonight on when David sang. When David sang. So, Lord, we need Your help tonight. I pray that You'll give me, God, the exact amount of energy that You want me to have for this message. I'm in Your hands. I submit and commit myself to Thee. Thank You, God, for speaking to our hearts this morning. My, my, how Your Word challenged us as dads, Lord, to be instructive, to be balanced, and to be wise. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to follow in Your great example, follow Your good model, and do what we can in the rearing of our children for Your honor and Your glory. And now, Lord, I'm not sure who needs this message tonight. I know there are times when I needed it in the past, and I'll probably need it in the future. And I pray that it might fall on some good ground tonight and bring forth some measure of fruit. And I'll thank You for that. Help me, I pray, in Christ's name. And amen. One of the great creations of God that mankind benefits from consistently is good music. Or you should. You know, it's out there, it's available, and if you're not using good music to its full potential, you're really missing out on something. It's a great, great blessing. Both instrumental and vocal music have been a staple of society since the beginning of time as we know it. In Genesis chapter 4, you've got the first mention of music. A son by the name of Jubal was born to Lamech. No, Louis L'Amour did not invent the name Jubal, okay? That came from the Bible, all right? And if you ever read the Sackett series, Louis L'Amour, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't read it, man, you're missing out on the classics, folks, okay? And so Jubal, he was born to Lamech, and the Bible says, quote, he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. So you've got music all the way back in Genesis chapter 4. It's not new to our society in this day and age. All the way back in the beginning of time as we know it. Now, it goes without saying you understand the devil certainly understands the power of music. And he has worked hard to corrupt something so good and so right and use it for man's destruction instead of man's edification, which was what God meant it for. God meant it for our edification, our building up, but the devil uses it for our destruction. Now, if you're like me, it's quite common for us to reach for a CD or an iPod or our phones now that have music stored on them or some other device and turn on the music as we travel, or in some cases as you work, or in some cases just having it playing in the black background at homes. And we reach for good music, and often it helps us. Often it encourages us. Good music sets the tone for a good day in your life and in your home. And often when attempting to give someone who is discouraged or someone who is having a difficult time, when I'm trying to give them a few practical helps to put into their life, I'll prescribe good music to be played continually because I truly believe that it has healing power. And I mean that with all of my heart. I believe it has healing power. Now, the Psalms is a songbook. That is what the word psalm means. It means to sing. So Psalms is a book of 150 songs. 150 songs that come from the very breath of God. You want to find some good music? Here it is right here in the book of Psalms. You don't have to worry about the content of these songs. They are doctrinally accurate and they are absolutely without error. A whole book and the biggest book. Now think about that, friend. The biggest book in the Bible is a songbook. Biggest book in the Bible is a songbook. These 150 Psalms. Now, I said earlier, it's not uncommon to reach for some music when you are discouraged and in need of a lift. And that's a good thing. But don't forget this songbook right here, the book of Psalms. And in particular, if you really want to get some help for a discouraging time in your heart, Psalms 103 through 118, and then Psalm 145 through 150. Are some of the greatest, those are some of the mountain peak psalms when it comes to helping you in a discouraging time. And I'm not kidding now. I'm talking about a tonic for your soul. I'm talking about some really help, some healing sometimes for discouragement or being brokenhearted. Those particular Psalms, 103 through 118 and 145 through 150, you get into those things and I'm going to tell you, friend, it will do your heart good. I'm all for the CDs and I'm all for the iTunes music and I believe it helps. But brother, you couple it with the songs that are in this songbook right here, and I'll promise you, you're going to get some real, real help. Now, Psalm 103 is kind of the first of this stretch of songs that God gives us to enjoy that are like mountaintops in the book of Psalms. And it begins with and ends with the same words. Look at the very, very first phrase of verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then the last phrase of verse number 22, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, this is a psalm of David. And most of the psalms came through his pen. He was responsible. He was the one who played. You remember, he was the one who played the harp. And man, did God use that music to encourage and bless others. You remember when King Saul called for David? Because the Bible says he was cunning in playing. And David came and he played for Saul. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:23. Now listen to this. Saul was refreshed and was well. That's what music did for Saul. He was refreshed and was well. And you know that Saul was battling temporary bouts of insanity. And God had given the evil spirits permission to come and oppress him. Said often, I don't believe that a Christian can be possessed by a devil, but I'm convinced that Christians can be oppressed by demon spirits. And really, folks, the results are almost the same. They really are. And Saul's in a bad way mentally. Now, don't forget that because we're coming back to that very thought in just a little bit. Saul's in a bad way mentally. And really and truly, that's where discouragement has its origin. In your mind. That's where depression has its origin. In your mind. And he was in a bad way mentally. And the Bible simply says that when David played that harp, he was not only refreshed. Listen again. He was well. He was well. Now, I'm not talking about faith healing. I'm not talking about, you know, becoming anti-doctor and anti-medicine and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, brother, there is medicinal help for your soul and my soul in good Christian music. Good Christian music. Now, you know, this is what's so dangerous about music that is not spiritual. Or music that is not musically correct. You take someone who is bothered by an evil spirit and then put them under the influence of music that carries evil spirits, it's like pouring gasoline on fire. And you can take music, friend, that doesn't have the touch of God on it. Music that doesn't have the hand of God on it. Music that doesn't have the breath of God on it. And I'll tell you something, you're going to come out of that double dog bad. If you try to use music to help you. But if you find some good Christian music, and I'm talking about vocal and instrumental, and also, I mean, you get in Psalms 103 and 104, 105, 6, all the way through 118, and read Psalm 145, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. I'm going to tell you something. That music, those songs, are going to do something for your heart. They will refresh you. And in some cases, they'll make you well. They may not get you over the cold. Or over the flu, but they may get you over discouragement, which is worse than the flu. Discouragement is worse than a bad cold. And so this type of thing, what I'm talking about, okay? God's music heals. And God's music helps. I want to tell you something. You come out of this modern day contemporary music, that all it does, it moves your feet and it moves the rhythm and the beat and the syncopation moves your body and your flesh enjoys it for a moment of time, but your soul is left withered away. And then you come to some music like we heard just now, which was not, and I'm not against the toe tapping stuff if it's within reason. I'm not against that. I'm from the South and I like some of the Southern quartet music. But I'm going to tell you something. What we heard just now didn't tap anybody's toe, but my, oh my, oh my, was my soul blessed from that good song we heard tonight. Because that's what good music can do for you. The contemporary music can't do anything for you, just make you feel good for as long as the music lasts. And then when it's gone, you got to have another one. And then you got to have another one. And you got to have more of that rhythm and more of that juice and more of that stuff to keep you going, to feel good while it's going. But when it's gone, but songs like that, when the music is gone and you're at work and you have to put your mind and heart into your work, music like that lingers in your mind and heart and creates a wellness amongst God's people. That's what happened to Saul. The Bible says David's music made him well. Made him well. Now think about that for a little bit. Let that run around your brain for a few minutes tonight. Now, this psalm like here is like David's personal worship. And when you get into his personal worship in Psalm 103, you look at the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of David's personal worship is, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, I like that. You know, it is a privilege to go to God with needs. It's a privilege to go to God with burdens. It's a privilege to pour out your heart to God when you need Him to help you. It's a privilege to weep in His presence, to confess sin and to repent and ask Him to clean you up. And I mean, like the Bible says, cast your burdens on the Lord. It is a privilege to do that and no doubt very beneficial. But I want to tell you something. You know that you've been involved in personal worship when your prayer begins and ends and is constituted throughout with praise to God. And that's what David's got going on in this chapter right here. His prayer worship begins with "Bless the Lord." It ends with "Bless the Lord." And through the whole song, he's praising God. Brother, that is the essence of personal worship when you and I are worshiping God like that. Now, there are some things that I think can help us from this song when David sang this song. Some point in time, David sang this song. God gave it to David through his pen or his tongue. And David put it on paper and sang it, and it was recorded. So David sang this song. And I want to point out three things tonight that I believe will be a help to me and you. If you need a little help for your soul, if you need a little help for your soul tonight, I remind you that Saul was not only was refreshed, he was made well. He was made well. Now, number one, I want you to see that David sang to himself. Look at what he said in verse number one. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." So David is singing to himself. Let me ask you a question. As a child, did you ever receive a good talking to? Or as an employee, did your boss ever give you a good talking to? I mean, straighten you out. You know, I remember when I was in Bible college, and Joyce and I had just, we'd been dating for a short time period, and I wanted to run out to Iowa just for a day and a half to see her, and my division leader was out of town, so I couldn't stay over the weekend. I had to get back, and he asked me to conduct the division meeting, and so I went out there like Thursday after work, and I stayed Friday, and we had a good time together. It might have been even at Thanksgiving time. And I borrowed a car because my old 68 Buick Skylark Lemon was not getting the job done, to say the least. And so I borrowed this guy's car, Danny Ritchie. He was from Claxton, Georgia. You ever heard of fruitcake? Claxton fruitcake? That's where they make it, in Claxton, Georgia. Everybody despises it, right? Because you got it all your life for Christmas. I know. But anyway, Claxton, Georgia. So Danny and I were friends. Never knew him until I got to college. But I met him there, and we were both Georgians. So he let me borrow his car. So I ran out to Iowa, ran back from Iowa, and got in late Friday night. Some of you folks have been to Baptist City there. Parked in one of the little spots there. I went out to the car at 6 o'clock Saturday morning to get to the 6:30 prayer meeting. And I started it up and backed it up about 3 feet, and it died. And I tried to start it, and it wouldn't start. And I tried to start it, and it wouldn't start. And nobody else said, "So, man, I got to get to the place. The prayer meeting's starting at 6:30. And so here comes a fella coming by, and I just locked the doors, and I said, "Can I get a ride with you over to the college, and I'll come back and get the car?" And, you know, the back end of the car was sticking about 2 feet out into the road at Baptist City, which is not really a road. It's not really a public road, okay? But it's a road that goes along with the complex there. And so I go over, have prayer meeting, and then I have the captain's meeting, and then we have breakfast, and then I have the division meeting. So now it's about 9:45, 10 o'clock, and I go back over to the campus there to get Danny Ritchie's car back in place and see if it will start, and it's gone. It's gone. I mean, it's not there. And I'm walking around, you know, I borrowed a car, and it's gone. And I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to tell Danny? And so I started asking around. Some of the guys, you see, they said, yeah, a tow truck just is over here. The tow truck from the Marathon station over on Highway 30 was just over here. So I borrowed a car. I think maybe I walked. I forget. I got over to the Marathon station on Highway 30, and there was Danny's car. And here was the tow truck driver and a policeman. And I said, what's going on? And the policeman said, your car, this is your car? And I said, well, I borrowed it. I said, somebody else's car, but I was using it. He said, it was out in the road. I said, it was only out in the road 2.5 feet. And I was young, and I was a freshman, or just maybe a sophomore, I can't remember. But I was mouthy, and I lipped off to that police officer, Brother John. And he just looked at me, and I had to pay $50. A college student, 50 bucks. It's like $5,000, people. And if you want to spend $50, you want to spend it at Burger King, not on a stupid car that needed towing. And so I probably lipped off to him more than I should have, said some smart remarks to him. You know, and then I went about the day, went about Saturday and Sunday, forgot all about it. You know, Monday I'm in chapel, and Dr. Evans is making announcements. Terry Anglia, please see Clyde Wolf in the security office. And all there. I should have not gone. That's not me. Terry Anglia, my name's not Anglia. My name is Angel. I wasn't putting two to two together, you know, so I went and I knocked on Clyde Wolf's door, and he said, yes, sir. And I said, yeah, I'm Terry Angel, Terry Anglia. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, oh, come in. His office was about three doors down from Wendell Evans's office in the administrative hallway. He closed the door. I sat down on the other side of the desk. He said, did you have a car get towed over to the Marathon station Saturday? I said, oh, yeah, I did. He said, it wasn't my car. It was Danny Rich's car. I borrowed it, but it was towed over there. He said, were you smart to a police officer over there? He said, that police officer called me. And, buddy, you talk about a talking to? I got nailed. He called me a punk. He said, you little punk college kid. And, I mean, he was yelling at me and pointing his finger across the desk, and he was giving me the what for, and he's a big guy, imposing man, Clyde Wolf, if you remember him. He's a big, imposing man, and he was giving me the what for. You talk about a talking to, buddy. I got a talking to that so discouraged me, I almost left, went home from college and said, phooey on this. I mean, he nailed my hide. He nailed my hide. And then six months later, he found his best friend was Steve Christner. And he had just chewed out Steve Christner's sister's boyfriend. And it didn't make much difference to him, though, when he found that out, I'll tell you that much. I got a talking to, a flat-out talking to. He straightened me up real quick. Now, listen, you know sometimes it's good to give yourself a talking to. And David gives himself a good talking to in this psalm. When he started singing, he sang to himself. I want you to look at the pronouns in verses 3, 4, and 5. Look at them in your Bible. The word thine and thy. And verse 4, thy. And verse 4, thee. And verse 5, thy. And verse 5 again, thy, thine, thy, and thee. You know what those are, folks? Those are second person pronouns. Listen to this. Used for those to whom the speaker is speaking. And in the beginning of this psalm, David is speaking to himself. And so he says to himself, hey, bless the Lord. Good night, man. Your iniquities are forgiven. Your diseases get healed. Your life is redeemed from destruction. You are crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. Your mouth is satisfied with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Good David did. David gave himself a good talking to. And brothers, sometimes that is exactly what you and I need to do. We can be very good at talking to others. We can be very good at giving advice to everybody else. But no, never ourselves. We are strangers to ourselves. We take no interest in talking to our own souls. And I will tell you what, every now and again, it does us good to give our own selves a good talking to. Talk to ourselves. Enough of this. Away with the mully grubs. Away with the complaining. Away with the self-indulgence of pity and sympathy. Hey, soul, you get it together, and you get it together now. I'm talking to yourself. Because that's what David did here. He said, soul, he said, all that is within me, you bless. You know, Elijah talked to himself, but it was entirely the opposite. Entirely opposite. I'm thinking about when he got back from Mount Carmel, you know, had that big victory. And then Jezebel said, if your head doesn't roll like those false prophets by tomorrow, I won't be the queen, or something to that effect. She said, you're going to die like they did by 24 hours. You remember he took off, right? And he ran. And then he stopped and God fed him and took care of him. He ran again. And then he got out there and he said to himself, he said, how do you know he was talking to himself? Because when he started talking to God, he revealed that he had been talking to himself. He said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He had been talking to himself in a negative sense the whole way. I can't handle this anymore. I am doomed to repeat generational failures. I'm no better than my fathers. I am all alone. I can't do anything because of them. Passing the blame. The whole trip, he was talking to himself in a negative sense, and then he verbalized it when he said to God, it's enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. Now, friend, that was Elijah talking to himself in a negative fashion. What you and I need to do once in a while is talk to ourselves like David did here in this passage. And I mean tell ourselves, soul, you get yourself together. You pull yourself together. Okay, times have been discouraging. Times have been a little bit rough. It's been a little bit difficult. But he's saying to himself, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. God is still forgiving your iniquities. He's still crowning your head with loving mercies and tender kindness. Get it together. Have you ever been caught talking to yourself? You probably have. You're in one room. And you're talking to yourself. And on this occasion, you're talking to yourself, not in a loud voice, but you're talking to yourself in a, you know, and you're talking to yourself. And somebody that you didn't know was nearby goes, what did you say? And how did you respond? Oh, nothing. Oh, nothing. I wouldn't say anything. You were caught talking to yourself. Now, friend, I want to tell you, there's a time enough. You do that too often. You need to take a trip somewhere. But I'm going to tell you, church, it doesn't hurt us every once in a while to give ourselves a talking to. You don't need the preacher to give you a talking to. Give yourself a talking to. Straighten yourself up. Talk to your soul. Talk to all that's within you. That's what David did here. He sang to himself. He gave himself a good talking to in this song when he sang. Number two, not only did David give talk to himself, but David sang to direct his thoughts. Look at verse number one. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. So he talks to himself, and when he talks to himself, he commanded to himself that he was going to think about God. He said, now, soul, it's time for you to get yourself together. It's time for you to pull this thing together. Enough of this, and you're going to start thinking about God. And folks, did you ever stop to think and ask yourself how few of our thoughts are in a vertical direction? And how many of our thoughts are in a horizontal direction? I mean, that's where the bulk of our thinking is. And people, the mind is such a battleground. Here I go again. This is what I meant when I said earlier. You know, Saul was having trouble mentally. Saul was having trouble with his thoughts. And when David played that harp for him, he was refreshed. And he was made well. And I'm telling you, the battleground, many times when it comes to discouragement and getting through things, is in our minds, our hearts, Our inner core person is made up of our minds, our emotion, and our will. Where we think, where we feel, where we choose. You know, the heart is really synonymous with the word soul. And the key player, I'm convinced, the key player in the heart and the soul is the mind. I believe the mind can be affected by emotions and choices, but I believe the mind affects the emotions and the choices far more than vice versa. This is the key battleground. And I'm not minimizing, friend, the power of emotions and the power of choice, but I believe those two are affected so much more by what we think about our minds. People, if you've been kind of having a low time, our minds need to transcend beyond this world. Transcend beyond this life. They not the thoughts of our mind. That's what David said. Soul. Soul. His soul. He's talking to himself. You are going to get your thoughts on God. Your thoughts are going to transcend this world. They need to rise above. They need to surmount. They need to pass over, to go beyond, to climb vertically and reach the highest heights by thinking about God. And people, sometimes that's very helpful for you and me. We just need to give ourselves a good talking to and tell ourselves, that's it. I'm not going to think on these problems. I'm not going to think on these difficulties for a while. I am going to transcend the world of the horizontal, and I'm going to ascend into the world of the vertical and be thinking about God. And that's what David said. He said, soul, you're going to rise above the job. You're going to go beyond the weather. You're going to surmount your financial circumstances. You're going to pass over the plans for the future. And you're going to climb vertically to the heights of all the heights, the highest of all that there is. And this is what we need to do from time to time, is capture the attention of our mind and put it solely on Him. Don't you think that'd be refreshing? You know what we'd rather do? We'd rather think about Washington, D.C. Well, how's that doing to refresh you? This week, if all you do is think about D.C., all you do is think about Obama, this week just plunged you deeper. You didn't get any help this week. And I'm not saying that a Christian ought not be cognizant, know what's going on in this world. But brother, we're not of this thing. This is not our home. That's our home, where He lives. And at some point in our time, at some point in our day, some point in our week, our thoughts need to transcend the horizontal and ascend to the vertical. And that's exactly what David did. You know, one of the great objectives when teaching or preaching is to capture the mind of those being taught. You know, I told you this morning that I lost the minds of those teenagers because I went too long down in that service down. And we had a good altar call. There was probably 45% of the kids that responded. And one of the pastors came and he said, listen, he said, it has been worth my trouble to get here and be in this camp this week to hear that one sermon. It was a sermon I preached here a minute called The Critical Path. Add to your faith virtue and then to virtue knowledge. The critical path. And I preached that down there. But I went too long. And I sensed it. I started losing the mind of the young people. And it wasn't their fault. I went too... Now, some people think 15 minutes is too long. And in our modern day Christianity, sermonettes are a lot more popular than messages. A little 20-minute, you know, three-point outline that's a little ditty. It makes us all feel good, and then we go home in time to watch our favorite television show. Because that's far more important than hearing a message from God. Now, I'm not worried about people who get a little bit bored after 10 minutes. But brother, you know, when you go an hour with teenagers, you're stretching it. You're stretching it. And so, you know, they're sitting there, some of them, you know, kind of looking at me like with their like calf looking at a new gate. And, you know, that's one of the great objectives, is to capture the mind. And Satan is very successful in diverting our minds from truth. He snatches the seed. He snatches the seed. I promise you. a lot of services. The seed of this word, the seed of this book right here that I try to sow from this pulpit is snatched from our minds and hearts before we hit the car. Gone. And I'm not getting honest. That's human. That's Satan at work. And he comes to snatch the seed out of our minds. Because, folks, he knows. He knows what this seed is. He knows the power of this seed. And he knows that if this seed falls on good ground, it's going to bring forth some measure of fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And that's one of the great objectives when a preacher or teacher teaches or preaches. And I ask God, give me the minds of the people tonight. Give me the minds of the people this morning. And I try to build the messages to keep people's attention, inject a little humor, raise the volume in my voice, lower the volume, pick up the pace of the message, and then slow it down. That's all just designed to keep people's attention. Why are you? Is it some kind of a performance? No, it's called the seed of God's Word has the potential to change a life. And I don't want it to get snatched out of your minds. I want you to listen and pay attention and think. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds to the light of the glorious gospel. If it can't get to our mind through the ear gate and through the eye gate, it has no opportunity to get to our heart and soul and bring forth fruit. And so, here it is. David said, soul, he said to himself, this is enough. You've walked around with the long face long enough. You've walked around with the mully grubs long enough, soul. Now you get it together. And he gave himself a good talking to. You pull yourself together and you get your mind off these things that are horizontal and you get your mind vertically. You get your thoughts ascending and transcending the troubles of this world and put them on the God who forgives your sins and crowns you with loving kindness. You think on Him. You bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. And I'm just simply saying, folks, we need to give ourselves a talking to from time to time. And when we give ourselves a talking to, we need to direct our attention to God. There are times when we need the Holy Spirit to help grab control of our minds and demand, I mean demand, that what we think about is God and God and where God is and who God is. And spend a little time. And I promise you, brother, I'll promise you that'll help you more than anything. That'll refresh you, make you well. So David, he sang to himself. And when he sang to himself, he directed his thoughts to think about God. And let me say this, number three tonight. David sang so he would think about God's benefits. He wasn't just thinking about God in a generic sense. Oh, I know there's a God up there. Amen. Praise the Lord. He put his mind and his thoughts on God's benefits. That's what he said in verse number 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David, you get a hold of yourself. And you put your mind on God. And you bless Him for all of His benefits. Now, I won't reread them in verses 3 through 5. But I want you to see, friend, that all of those verbs are present tense. David said, I'm going to think about the things, the benefits of God that are active in my life right now. All the benefits of knowing God. All the benefits of being saved. All the benefits of having my sins forgiven. All the benefits of being crowned with tender mercies and loving kindness. All the benefits of Him forgiving and healing me. And David put his mind, directed his mind to think on God and all the benefits that God gives him presently in his life. And brother, when you and I find ourselves immersed in things that cause us discouragement, I'm not against reaching for CDs and reaching for iPads and listening to good music. That's helpful. But don't forget this songbook right here. Don't forget this songbook. And brother, I mean, these are just as much songs as what we heard from Dan and Kelly just a moment ago. In fact, these are better songs. These are inspired songs. God-breathed songs. And brother, you can get some help from this. I did this week. I learned a lot. I've read this psalm how many times? How many times have you read it? And man, this just jumped off the page because you know why? Because there are times when I need to talk to myself. You're done. You'll pull yourself together. I'm not talking about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, but get your own attention. It's over. No more complaining. No more mully grubs. Get your mind on God. Get it on God's benefits that are currently active in your life. And watch those things refresh you. Watch yourself get well when you get into God's songbook. I want to tell you what God did here in the book of Psalms. He gives us an in-depth look into David's life. Personal struggles, the mountaintops and the valleys of his experiences. Here is a man that knew the power of good music, and he sang to himself and sang so his thoughts were about God and sang so his thoughts could be about God's benefit. I wouldn't doubt tonight but that there's somebody in this room who needs to have a good talk with yourself. To yourself. And pull yourself together. And tell yourself, you're going to take your thoughts, soul, you're going to take your thoughts off of the problems, off of the difficulties, at least for a distinct period of time. And you're going to put your thoughts on Him. And not just in a generic way. You're going to think specifically about all the benefits that God brings to you as a child of God. And you watch it help yourself. You watch yourself get refreshed. In 1885, there was a Swedish preacher by the name of Carl G. Boberg, who at age 26, he wrote a poem called O Stor Gud. That was the name of it in Swedish. O Stor Gud. Some years later, he attended a meeting, and he was surprised to hear his poem, to hear the words of his poem sung to the tune of an old Swedish melody. He was surprised. In the early 1920s now, just about 30 years later, an English 30, 40 years later, an English missionary by the name of Stuart Kine and his wife were ministering in Poland. And when they were in Poland, they learned a Russian version of Boberg's poem sung to that same Swedish melody. And it stuck in Kine's head. And when he got back to England sometime later, he translated it into English and he made his own arrangement of the melody. The original words for the chorus to the song, O Stor Gud, were these. Original words. Then doth my soul burst forth in song of praise, O great God, O great God. And when Kine got through with it, that's where we get our song, Then Sings My Soul, My Savior, God to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. And when we talk to ourselves and we call ourselves on the carpet and tell ourselves enough, 2/3 of what we think about can't be changed. Can't be fixed. It's in the past. It's done. And we're caught in this blah. And David said, you know what, soul? Enough. You turn your attention to God. And not just in a generic sense. You get your mind on all the current benefits that your God gives you. Oh, great God. See if that doesn't make you well. Instead of Dr. Phil. Or some other goofy Hollywood media person. Rush Limbaugh is not making you well. What's his name? The other guy, Sean Hannity? Not making you well, folks. Michael Savage? Ain't making you well. Oh, you may agree with them politically, conservatively. That's not making you well. David played his harp, and Saul got well. You get your mind on God and His benefits, you're going to be a whole lot better. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, you put so much in this book, it's flabbergasting. It's absolutely overwhelming what you put in this book that could help us if we just put it into practice. Lord, I'm preaching to myself tonight. Three fingers pointed at me for every time I pointed one at the people. Spirit of God, would you help us, please, when we need to give ourselves a good talking to. And help us, Lord, to direct ourselves to think about you and to think about your benefits. And Lord, it's not some kind of psychotic pump-me-up pep rally. Thinking about you and your benefits will bring us face-to-face with reality. And Lord, help us realize how blessed we are to be children of God. It'll bring an old great God to our hearts. It'll bring an old great God to our lips. It'll come from our heart, our soul, our mind, our emotion. It'll come out of our mouth, Lord, bursting forth in praise to you. And God, we can be helped. We can be well. We can be refreshed. I pray that you'll help us, oh God, from this message tonight. Lord, may the seed of the Word of God fall on somebody's heart tonight and bring forth fruit in their life in the days and weeks ahead. I pray it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the message tonight, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Raise your hand. We pray for you tonight all over the room. God bless you. Amen, amen. I'm preaching to myself tonight too. Is there anybody in the room tonight who's lost? You're unsaved? On your way to hell? God help us. We don't need anybody to go to hell from the pews of a Baptist church. Anybody that needs to be saved, you come. Anybody that needs to be baptized. But my friend, do you need a good talking to? You don't need it from a... Get talking to yourself. Give yourself a good talking to. Like David did. And get your minds on God. And particularly, His great benefits. And see if it won't help make you well. Ladies, I'm sure you've got the song, How Great Thou Art, tonight for the invitation. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Let's stand together and the altar will be open. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. Oh, Lord, my God, you come tonight. You let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Need a good talking to. Need a good talking to. Talk to yourself.